Hello, everybody. Aldous Asterion back after about 2.5 months of not really doing much of anything podcast-wise, because it's been pretty much the craziest 2-3 months of my life. But I did manage to get some reading done in preparation to go on the Art of Darkness podcast, dealing with the life and work of sci-fi author and postmodern prophet Philip K. Dick. And that episode may or may not be out by the time I get done with this recording. I was thinking that you all would benefit from some of the reading I've done, and maybe I'll get a chance to say here what I was not able to there. PKD is probably in the top handful of authors in terms of influencing me and this podcast. I think the book Valis was a major rabbit hole book for me, chock full of all kinds of esoteric material. Although the book is itself not an esoteric book for reasons that I explained on a Twitter thread recently, but you know, it deals with everything from Gnostic Christianity to Platonism and pre-Socratic philosophy, Dogon myth, Grail lore, and so on. And so that was, you know, that kind of smorgasbord of high weirdness and arcana was really kind of an intoxicating brew for me. And ever since I read that book, I probably go through a small, you know, Philip K. Dick craze every 5 years or so. I'll go back and I'll reread some books I've already read of his, and then add, you know, at least one more, if not a couple. He has a very daunting bibliography, though. I think that is one challenge with him. He doesn't have any book that is just a doorstop of a novel. Although some of his books, like Valis, for instance, can be quite complex, even at their, you know, fairly short length. He rarely, if ever, has a book that goes over 300 pages. But on the other hand, he has 44 some odd novels published, over 130 short stories. I'd say I've probably read about a third of this published output, maybe a little bit more after this recent spate of PKD reading. Now, a lot of that is potboilers and recycled material that he did for money. There's probably no other major author that has as many potboiler type works. Although, you know, the strange charm of PKD is there's always something that's unique and weird and valuable, no matter how pulpy the work is, and there's always something kind of flawed and not quite coming together, no matter how much of a masterpiece the book is, too. So one of the things I wanted to do in this research period that I've just had is I wanted to get a handle on the bibliography in terms of understanding what a lot of the books that I haven't read are about, and kind of the order that they came in, and get an idea of the sort of the structure of his career, which I do have a bit of a better understanding now, without having to go through and read all, you know, a dozen and, you know, however many books it's going to take to do that. So there's a couple of resources that I've found that you may want to avail yourselves of as well. A podcast called Dickheads. It's probably the most comprehensive PKD-related show in podcast form. It's by a group of guys who are themselves working science fiction writers. So they bring that perspective to his work, and they've been systematically going through and reading all of the PKD books, which is quite a project. And they've done quite a few. They're all the way up to, by this point, I think, Flow My Tears, the Policeman Said. So they're into the 70s work. So there's a lot to go through there, and they cover each of the books, and like I said, they bring a working writer's perspective, and I find that interesting. Particularly, they get into like publishing history details, his relationship with editors, especially Don Wolheim, who has Ace Books, published most of PKD's early work. Certainly without him, he would not have had a career at all. Most of the early books were published as Ace Doubles, which means that they were packaged together with one other book, usually some disposable sci-fi space opera or something along those lines. I'm just kind of imagining picking up, you know, some you're expecting some pulp space opera, and you get something like Eye in the Sky or Time Out of Joint. I mean, it's pretty crazy. My reservation with this podcast is something having to do with contemporary nerd culture that sort of irks me. There's kind of a basic hostility or something. It's kind of a knee-jerk resentment towards anything high culture. These guys read essentially for plot. And not that they never get into like what the work is trying to say, but there's not a deep close reading of what some of the stranger elements and the deeper, like deep psychology elements that Dick is working into his material, and especially the theological ideas that he works with. I've come to reflect that PKD has two major audiences that he's been popular with that actually miss out on a huge portion of his work, or they're not prepared to address the seriousness of his religious vision, and that's sci-fi fans and postmodernists. They both miss the hermetic Christianity that he increasingly gets into, which I think he's quite serious about. And like I said, there's often a dismissal of things that show up in Dick's work that actually reference, you know, classical music or poetry or things like that. And one of the things that I like about PKD is he's one of these authors that utilizes the high and the low, culturally speaking, and completely avoids the middle brow entirely. And he's able to do that in a way that is completely genuine. Like, he genuinely likes, you know, pulp science fiction with aliens and ray guns and whatnot. He likes A.E. Van Vogt, and he also likes James Joyce and Marcel Proust. And each of those elements, as I see it, are completely authentic in his work. He's authentically highbrow and authentically lowbrow at the same time. Some of his acolytes are kind of a little bit more veering toward the middle brow, quite frankly, like Jonathan Lethem. I think Jonathan Lethem is a good writer, but the weird elements of Lethem's fiction feel a little forced to me. And he rarely, well, never ventures into territory that wouldn't pass muster on, you know, The New Yorker or NPR or our official channels of culture today. But anyway, that's maybe a quibble. It's basically an entertaining show. It's also been going through a website called The World Dick Made, which is pretty useful as well, because it just has a list of all of the novels and all of the short stories. And you can go through them chronologically or alphabetically. And the novels have a plot synopsis plus an evaluation. The short stories mostly just have a short plot synopsis. So if you go through that, there's so much material, it's hard to remember everything, what all was in what books, but you tend to get an idea of thematically the kind of things that PKD tended to be writing about in the 50s versus the 60s and the 70s. So I have a pretty good notion of the development of his career at this point, what was different about his work. Obviously, the religious experiences and the religious ideas come to dominate the work toward the end. In the 1950s, it's interesting because some of that stuff is there, but it's very latent. And some of his attitudes about religion are quite different. He became very consciously Christian, as you probably know. And some of the books, like Eye in the Sky, there's kind of the typical secular liberal's attitude toward believing Christians as basically being these, like, you know, hoity-toity, very judgmental people. There's a character in the book that's like that. Or these kind of obsessive, neurotic, you know, self-flagellating type of people. Nevertheless, and I'm referencing the book Eye in the Sky, there is a strong interest in religion and in some of the more esoteric dimensions of religion too. For instance, like the religious crazy person in Eye in the Sky involves, the book involves a bunch of people who are involved in a accident with a particle accelerator, and you know, that's just kind of a justification for what follows, which is that it plunges them successfully into completely subjective worlds created by one of the characters that is there. And one of the worlds that you get where you get the titular Eye in the Sky is you know, this omnipresent, surveillant, judging god, but he's called Tetragrammaton in that. And there's some elements that's taken from, I think, Baha'i. I don't know much about that religion. And then another of his books, Cosmic Puppets, takes Ahura Mazda and Angurmainu from Zoroastrianism and has them locked in this dualistic showdown. So you can see he had an interest in religion from the beginning, but definitely not in the obsessive way that he would later.
For the rest of this episode, please visit patreon.com/symbolpod. You can get benefits like early access to episodes, exclusive bonus episodes, reading lists for the show, and other bonus content for as little as $3 a month. The Forest of Symbols will continue to explore the deepest symbolic roots of art, literature, philosophy, religion, science, and history, as well as interviews with some of the most interesting artists and thinkers of our time. But we need help from you to make this show the best it can be. Go to patreon.com/symbolpod and support the show today.